And the World Junior roster was revealed today, or at least those that are going to be invited to the camp, and they're on the ice in 9 days out west. And before you know, they're, what are we, 26 days away from them playing again and back in Edmonton, back in Red Deer, and this time with packed buildings. So I'm looking forward to seeing Shane Wright. Connor Bedard was invited to the camp. I don't know if he'll make the team. Owen Power is going to be a lock. First overall pick last year. We know he wasn't there last year. Didn't leave
Michigan. So he's going this year?
Yes, Power's on the team. Yeah, and perfect. You know, he's going to be playing. I would think he's going to be their number one defenseman, or certainly should be. I mean, he was at the World Championship playing like 22, 23.
Yeah, he's a horse.
Absolutely.
He's going to be a player.
Yeah. I love that because he'll be my guy.
I'll That'll
just be like,
guy.
watch this highlight pack from Owen Power. This guy is awesome. And then he says, easy, grab a coffee in the morning, watch all his good plays, send it off, done.
Yeah.
It'll be an automatic. Bedard, get him in there. Some.
I hope he makes the team. I hope Bedard. I don't know if he will. You know, they're obviously.
Dude, you saw him in the summer. He was on fire at that under 18 or whatever the hell he was in the summer. He's unreal.
Yeah, he's the presumed first overall pick next year, although there's a Russian kid coming with him next year that looks like he's is it Mikov, I think is his name?
Mechkov.
Yes, and he looks like he's got the makings of being a superstar himself, but this is what Hockey Canada, it's a good problem to have. You know, you got so much depth, so much talent, so many 19-year-olds where you're like, I don't know if the 17-year-old's going to make the team, regardless of how good he is. But there is a history of young players making it. McDavid did, Crosby did, Spezza did, Jay Bouwmeester did.
Yeah.
You know, there have been young players. Obviously, Gretzky was there when he was 16, I believe. But we'll see with the camp roster being revealed today. And, again, they're on the ice out west in about 9 days when camp opens. Here's our TSN Hockey insider, Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
Hey, guys. All is well. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well, yeah. I mean, we're into December. We were just saying the World Juniors right around the corner, and obviously that there's going to be a lot of excitement for that, and I don't know how closely you're tracking it in terms of NHL players potentially being sent back, but do you think COVID and everything that's going on in the NHL, does that affect any decision-making from an executive standpoint about whether or not they send kids back or not? Or
I don't think so.
No.
You know, I mean, the organizations that I deal with daily are – pretty much all systems go. I mean, every team is walking on eggshells, right? Because, you know, every day there's the potential of something happening, somebody going into protocol and all of that, and how you manage. And, you know, I think the NHL, as was reported last night on Insider Trading, is now kind of biting down a little bit more and reminding all clubs that they have to continue to do their due diligence. But, look, when it comes to development, if it's all systems go and you're healthy enough, then play at the highest level. And I know historically managers have always loved their prospects playing on that world stage because it's peer versus peer and it's best versus best. And you always want to see how your younger players, you know, kind of show off at that point. But, you know, it's also a feather in their cap if they come out of that with a real strong experience.
Dregs, you know, no secret that Jake DeBrusk in Boston has asked for a trade. I know you've been monitoring it. Is there a big marketplace for him? I mean, I see now as Joe Haggerty, I don't know if you saw that on Twitter, kind of you know, made a comment, and it looks like his mom has responded to Joe Haggerty, and they're kind of having a conversation on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
So it's, that's never a great situation. But, you know, ultimately, what do you think of the player and the marketplace? Is there a lot of interest?
There is a lot of interest. The question is, though, Noodles, at what price point, right? Like, he's a 25-year-old kid.
Okay.
All right. I think we lost Dregs. Maybe he's going to fight with Joe Haggerty at this point. Who knows?
No, I think it's a respectful conversation. You know, Haggerty basically said, you know, request officially made this morning for Jake DeBrusk to speak with the Bruins media, and he's basically declined. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Haggerty's saying because it's a bad look to force your teammates to answer that. And, you know, Cindy DeBrusk said he's not forcing anything. You guys keep asking. You ask the players. So it's, you know, and Hags goes back at her and just says, I respect you as a mom, blah, blah, blah. So it's a respectful conversation, but it's, you know, it's one. It's a tough. It's.
I understand where Haggerty's coming from, though. Like this is a business. If you like, the demand is in. He wants out.
Right.
If you want out, people are going to be intrigued by that and want to ask you why you want out. Like, right. that's the right. nature of the beast, I would
If it's
think.
Me, man, I say I'm going to go home until something happens here because I just don't want to be around. I don't want to face my teammates. And it's not like pulling the pin on them, but it's like I've made my request. I'm not right. going to come back here and bluff it like I want to be here and act like I want to pour right. my heart out for this team because something happens that he doesn't, so don't make me do it. I'll be at home and something happens, let me know.
You're right. Before we bring Dregs back in, just one other point on that. They can't even healthy scratch him because they don't have any players. Like
yeah,
Providence
COVID.
Is like a COVID, and like they are in one right now. So it's I think they're kind of having to force DeBrus to play. That might have been an avenue, right?
Well, yeah, Dregs. What would the reaction yeah. be like if DeBrus did just say I'm going home, see you later? Considering
yeah,
the circumstances in Boston right now.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's the character of the player or the kid, right? Like
right,
he's been brought up the right way. Things haven't gone. As he expected. And look, when you're sharing blame, I feel like it starts with Jake DeBrusk. And I don't think that he'd be offended by anybody saying that. You know, Cam Neely came out and said, well, he's not as greasy as he used to be. Well, the game isn't as greasy as it used to be, so I can take issue with that. But, you know, I would also say that Jake DeBrusk has been a victim of circumstance. Nick Ritchie was there. Now he bumps Jake DeBrus from net front on the power play. Charlie Coyle comes in. Now he's got a piece of the power play. You know, Taylor Hall comes in. These are established players. So I guess if Jake DeBrus is going to be criticized, it's for not being diverse enough or having enough variety or versatility in his game. He's a left winger, right? Like that's been his success. And in Boston, it seems like some nights, most nights, he's playing on the right side. Now, again, at 25, has he approached this entirely the right way? No, probably not. So it starts there. Bruce Cassidy, is he culpable in all this? For sure he is. Look at the stat line of Jake DeBrus. Kid scored 16 playoff goals in his young NHL career. And we know what he's done against the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? And other clubs. So this kid has some game in him. I don't think there's any reason to doubt that. So I don't think that he's ever going to just take the ball and go home. And he got to a breaking point recently with a healthy scratch where I guess he felt like he had to ask for a trade. So before we broke there, you know, Noodle, you asked me about how much interest there is in DeBrus.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interest. There's a lot. And
yeah.
Look, I'm going to rewind the clock here a little bit because this isn't the first time that we've talked about Jake DeBrus being on the trade block. It was a year or two ago where his name popped up again, and I know St. Louis at that time, before they acquired Pavel Buchnevich from the New York Rangers, were pretty hard after Jake DeBrus. Boston wanted the moon for him, and understandably so. But St. Louis wasn't going to do that. I believe they got, Sammy Blais and a second-round pick for Buchnevich. And, that's what St. Louis sent to the New York Rangers. And I think they were basically offering that for Jake DeBrus. But they were in there pretty heavy. Brad Treliving is always in there. And I have no doubt that he's sniffing around again. Vancouver, definitely in there. Arizona, absolutely. Montreal, yes. I mean, we're talking 12 teams or more. But what's the return? You know, and then that's what I'm most intrigued by, because if Don Sweeney is expecting to get what he perceives to be above or fair market value, that's going to be a challenge, because this kid has gone through tough times in Boston, deserve it or not. And not that far removed from being a healthy scratch sitting in a press box. So if you're looking to hit a grand slam right now on Jake DeBrus, especially with a qualifying offer, that's probably not going to happen.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. So big game here in Toronto, Colorado in town, their only time all year. Nathan MacKinnon returns.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's going to be a good test for both sides. I mean, listen, the Leafs are a confident group. They've won 14 of 16. They shouldn't be concerned
yeah.
about what's happening necessarily on the other side of the ice. But both teams dealing with, I think, a similar history in terms of being quality regular season teams, high-end regular season teams.
Yeah.
And the playoffs have been very disappointing. Do you see a spitting image here, Dregs, in terms of expectations this season? Like, it's one thing to roll through the regular season, but both Toronto and
yeah.
Colorado, they've got to win rounds. They've got to start winning in the playoffs.
Yeah, I do, but I do give the edge to Colorado. And maybe that's unfair. It certainly sounds unfair given what Toronto has done of late. Colorado just feels like they've, even though the playoff success hasn't been there, that they're closer. And look, I'm willing to eat my words and be dead wrong, you know, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's what both teams are going to have to accomplish. But there are similarities for sure. You know, the good thing when I look at Toronto's perspective, and I, Noodles, you weigh in on this. Are we willing to stop talking about Colorado's goaltending? Because I think we've stopped talking about it in Toronto, finally. It took long enough for everybody to realize that, okay, Jack Campbell's legit. Jack Campbell's good enough. You don't need more than that. He stays healthy. Everything should be fine. Can we say that about Colorado? Maybe we can. Maybe we can't. I don't know. But there's enough firepower on both sides that it's going to be a fun game, despite what happens moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sorry, just want to weigh in. Yeah, Campbell has really been consistent, and he's been fantastic this year. I think Kemper has taken a little bit to settle in. New organization, new system. You know, yeah. a lot of things that were moving on with Colorado, with Makar out and COVID and all of that going through their team.
Yeah,
he's a good goaltender. I like Kemper too. Big body. You know, if you look at the Leafs going to try and beat him, I was looking at some statistics today. His only like weak point as far as where he's been beaten the net is high blocker. So it'd be interesting to see if they're looking at that tonight. That's the predominant, like I get these goaltender reports every morning and where guys have been beat. High blocker has been one that kind of stands out for me on Kemper. But that being said, it's what's behind him. In Colorado is still a question mark for me. Whereas in Toronto, I at least know what Peter Mrazek is. He's an NHL goaltender who can challenge for tandem minutes. You know, not 100% concerned, or I am concerned of what's behind Kemper in Colorado, you know, depth-wise, put it that way.
Yeah. So all I'm hearing here, Brian, is if Austin Matthews doesn't beat Darcy Kemper high blocker, then Austin Matthews is a fail tonight.
Yeah. No, pre-scout will be there.
He doesn't do his pre-scout. He's lazy. He doesn't have the stash anymore. Maybe he's, I don't know.
Be lighter tonight.
Maybe his head is in the clouds. Go ahead, O.
Dregs, for the last 2 weeks or the last 2 months, I guess, we've been talking about the tire fires. Like, is the heat cranking up in Winnipeg? Because I think they just lost to Arizona.
Yeah,
and the Coyotes are so bad. Like, that's got to be amping up there a little bit, doesn't it? Or a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, I put Winnipeg, and I shouldn't even say this out loud, but I guess I will now that I've started, because I don't really have strong evidence of it, and I'm not making excuses for players, but I am going to apply Matt Murray's situation, not the reason Matt Murray was waived and sent to Belleville. But if his struggles weren't enough pre-COVID in Ottawa, his struggles coming out of COVID in Ottawa were significant, right? Health-wise, getting everything back. And honest to God, guys, I think that is real when I watch Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele play. I think those guys, whether they would admit it or not, Paul Maurice would talk about it. Management will talk about it, disclose it, all that. It's confidential. I look at the guys around the league who have had COVID. We don't know, you know, so many of them are asymptomatic, but some of them are symptomatic and some of them have had issues. And maybe they didn't realize how significant those issues are until you step on the ice and try and play at the level of the National Hockey League that you once played. So I know that sounds like a bevy of excuses, but I feel like that's gone into it a little bit with Winnipeg, but they should be coming out of that by now. So in answer to your question, the heat's got to be ramped up, but I don't think it's to a point where we're starting to look at, okay, Paul Maurice is on a hot seat, or God, has there ever been a hotter seat for Chevalier off this year off ice? Probably not. So he's not getting fired this year. But I can understand that there's a high level of frustration around the game of the Jets right now.
With Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, Brendan Lemieux gets 5 games for biting Brady Tkachuk, which means they concluded he did, in fact, bite him multiple times. I mean, I guess it was inconclusive, the video. I don't know.
It's asinine to even have to say that.
It's like, so crazy.
Multiple times.
It's multiple
so silly.
Times. So what's the reaction league-wide? Is that enough? Is that not enough? No. I mean, I don't know how to react to a guy biting someone twice. Like, if they gave him 15 games, I'd be like, yeah, I get that, I guess. He bit him twice.
Well, I guess all they did here, Brian, is save a number of lawyers some time. Because if the suspension is six or more, then it can go to an outside arbitrator. If it's five or less, then it's up to Commissioner Bettman to act as the arbitrator if there's an appeal. So I don't expect there's going to be an appeal. But I'm trying to envision being in that room for this in-person hearing. Obviously, I've never been. I don't know if you guys have been. Maybe Noodles, when you two-handed, who was that back in the day? No, that wasn't in person.
That was a misunderstanding. That was Johan Franzen.
Yeah, that's right. I remember it now. It ended your career, so you got a lifetime suspension. Yeah. But, like, if you're Rob Blake in the L.A. Kings and, you know, Lemieux's agent, who we know who that is, you know, and the Players Association, and you're sitting there and you're going, okay, well, there isn't video evidence that conclusively shows Brendan, you know, chomping down on Brady Tkachuk's hand. All we see is the aftermath and Brady being irate and then his tirade postgame. So that's really all we're going on. And honest to God, I feel like that was the only thing that saved Brendan Lemieux from being an 8, 9, 10 game suspension, was that there wasn't clear cut video evidence aside from the aftermath, the evidence on Brady Tkachuk's hand that he actually bit him.
Wow. Yeah. It is such a goofy conversation.
But it really is. Like, to even hear that, it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know what they should do? They should offer, whether it's full media disclosure, like a Zoom conference, but at least allow the player who is the victim in this case and his agent to sit in and listen in on it. Can you imagine how angry? Well, let's start with Keith Tkachuk, Walt. He'd be furious. Matthew wouldn't be very happy. Brady would be irate. So if we needed more fuel to the Lemieux versus Tkachuk family feud, this might be it.
Oh, this is it. Well, it's circulating when Keith and Claude fought at the World Cup in 96, I think it was.
Yeah, well, how about Claude biting Jim Poplinski back in the day?
Well, hey, listen, man, the tree didn't, I guess the apple didn't fall far from the tree, right? That's where you learn it from, and Claude was the best at it when it came to being a pest and rattling cages, but also showing up in big games. We'll see if Brendan can get to that point.
He did.
All right, buddy, we'll leave it there. Enjoy the games tonight.
All right, you too, guys. Thank you.
There's Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, Claude Lemieux he's certainly a top five biggest pest of all time,
like villain?
In league history.
He's
yeah,
villain
or whatever you want. Like, Ulf Samuelsson comes to mind. Brad Marchand, I don't think he's in that cat. As much as Brad Marchand is a guy that is a pest and the opposition hates him, Sean Avery would probably be up there.
Yeah. What did Ulf Samuelsson, was it Ty
Ty threw a sucker punch at him. That
wow, did
is
he ever, man.
Right
in front of him. Like, glove off,
what
looking
would that
the
get
other way.
Today's game? What would that get in today's game?
The year. I think he would have got the year.
He got.
I'm not kidding.
How many did he get? I think he got 8 games or something.
I think the year right now. I'm not kidding. The year.
There is one, like, I don't know, and I don't want to bring this up because I still believe that Jeff Boogaboom has had still issues to this day, but like
Matt
Johnson on Jeff Boogaboom was one of the
suckered
most
him from behind, like, punched the back of his head.
Like,
yeah,
these are terrible things. No place in the game,
ones.
but it just I remember I thought it was Ty on Samuelsson.
Oh yeah, it was at the Gardens, right in front of the net. He just I think he grabbed them with his right hand, pulled them in, dropped his left glove and hit him.
Yeah.
And, like, knocked him out. Like, he was out. Like, it was gruesome. And Ty paid a big price, but it wasn't that big, relatively speaking. I mean, today, it would be 82 games or whatever. It would be, pack your bags, you're out, we'll see you next spring.
Dude,
or next
I could
fall,
never
basically.
Figure it out. Playing on the same line as Ronnie Francis and all the dinners and all the chats on the bus, and his best friend was Ulf Samuelsson. I just couldn't put the two and two together.
Well, I mean, you hear about these pests on the ice that are great guys off. I mean, that's it,
right?
Tyson Nash is a, would you call him a friend of the show? He was a pain in the ass on the ice.
And yeah, for sure. He's
a buddy of mine. I mean, outside of the call on the Hossa call, which he did verify to me. I don't know if I told you guys that. He was getting death threats to his hotel.
Oh, yeah.
In Chicago.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
Cleanest hit he's ever seen. Rafi Torres. Rafi just crushing Marian Hossa.
It's still a very, that's a tough one. Cleanest hit he's ever seen. Yeah, I don't know
that's clearly was hyperbole. I don't know why that popped into his head. Like, even if it's a clean hit, which he thought it was, cleanest hit he's ever seen, you know, like that. Really?
That's tough. Yeah,
come on,
that's
Nash,
the one.
Come on.
That's the one. But yeah, like, there are some good guys who are, you know, get underneath your skin. That's your role.
Right? If that's what you do, you have to be an agitator. You have to be a guy that's chirping and hitting and fighting. And it's a really tough job to have. It's a lucrative job because you're in the NHL and you're getting paid and you get to live an NHL lifestyle. But going out there every single day and being like, man, there's a guy, someone on the other team hates me because of something I've said or done, and I have to be prepared because there's a chance he's going to come at me. Or there's a kid that's coming up that's going to challenge me, you know. It's a tough gig.
Yeah,
like, it is a tough gig. Whether you're a fighter or pest, whatever, there's the reason you're there is because that's the type of energy you bring to the ice.
Agreed.
And you got to bring it pretty much every single night.